At last the Xanadu reached an old dilapidated landing where half a dozen men stood beside some huts on the high bank. Mr. Brewster indicated one man who was wearing khaki shorts, white shirt, and pith helmet. "That's Whitman," said Mr. Brewster. "He's too far away to hail him." He brought out a leather case containing a flat metal mirror and handed it to Biff. "Whitman understands Morse," Mr. Brewster said. "Signal him to send out a boat for us, Biff." Biff turned the mirror toward the sun, then slanted it in Whitman's direction. Covering the mirror with his hand, he flashed the message in dots and dashes. "SENDBOAT, send boat." Whitman pointed to a canoe on the shore. Biff watched two figures hurry down and clamber into the craft, a small figure at the bow, a big one in the stern. They paddled out to the waiting cruiser and swung alongside. The man in the stern, a husky, barrel-chested native, furnished a broad, friendly smile. "Major Comey," he answered. The bow paddler was an Indian boy about Biff's age and size. He was wearing faded blue denim trousers, ragged at the knees, and a shirt that matched it in color and tattered sleeves. He reached up to grab the cruiser's side, adding, "I'm Kamuka." Biff extended his own hand and responded, "I'm Biff." In that unexpected handshake, the two boys established an immediate friendship. They grinned at each other as Biff helped Kamuka swing the canoe about so that Jacomi could hold the stern alongside. As soon as Biff and his father stepped into the canoe, the Xanadu sped off like a startled creature. Joe Nara at the wheel waved goodbye, while Ego and Ubi simply stared back like a pair of reversed figureheads. Jacomi and Kamuka did fast work with their paddles to prevent the canoe from tipping in the cruiser's swell. Then they headed toward the dock. Kamuka looked over his shoulder and said to Biff, "I like the way you send message. You show me how?" Biff nodded. "I'll show you how." During the short paddle, Mr. Brewster talked to Jacomi in Portuguese, and Biff, listening closely, understood most of what was said. Mr. Brewster asked about the luggage and was told that it had arrived by air. Also, he wanted to know if the safari was ready to start. Jacomi told him yes, that they had been waiting for him to arrive. When they reached the shore, Hal Whitman was still up by the huts, engaged with the natives in an excited conversation. Mr. Brewster started in that direction, and Biff was about to follow when a hand plucked at his sleeve. It was Kamuka with a request. "You spell message now?" "All right," agreed Biff. He produced the mirror, caught the sun's glint, and focused it on the wall of a hut perhaps 100 feet away. "Now watch." Biff halted abruptly. A burly native wearing baggy white shirt and trousers with a red bandana tied about his head had joined the argument and was pushing Mr. Whitman back into the hut. "Rubu," exclaimed Makuko, "he make trouble." Whitman came from the hut with a shotgun and gestured for the native Rubu to be on his way. Instead, Rubu grabbed the gun and snatched it from Whitman's grasp, tripping him at the same time. Mr. Brewster was starting to run forward on the run, but he was too far away to help Whitman. Urubu raised the gun butt to drive it down on Whitman's head. Biff could see the savage look on Urubu's face. Kamuka grabbed Biff's arm. The native boy was breathless. "Somebody must help Mr. Whitman. Quick!"